This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. December 1st has come and gone, which means if you weren't already, maybe shamefully, watching holiday movies, you can shamelessly do so now. Actually, no judgment either way. Whether you've already watched the movies streaming services have been heavily marketing over the last few weeks, or your December is just a month-long Hallmark Channel celebration, the holiday movie has a surprisingly long history. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When it comes to Christmas movies and other holiday movies, which ones do you like to watch? Why do you like to watch them? Do you go back to the same ones year after year? Do they mean more to you this year than usual after the weird year? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillis is Assistant Professor of English and Film Studies at the UW-Milwaukee. She wrote the book, The Optical Vacuum, Spectatorship and Modernized American Theater Architecture. Jocelyn, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
When do we see the holiday movie genre first start to come out in film history?
It's pretty remarkable. Basically, as long as we've had film in the United States, we've had holiday movies, which I think is kind of astonishing for us to think about. Thomas Edison, who we think of as, you know, such an inventor, well, sometimes only half the inventor of the things that he claimed credit for, but one of the great fathers of cinema in the United States. He also created the first Christmas lights, which he strung up at his Menlo Park laboratory in 1880. But his studio produced silent Christmas shorts as early as the end of the 19th century. One of the ones that I would point to is The Night Before Christmas, which was directed by Edwin S. Porter, who works with Thomas Edison in his studio. So really as early as the days of silent cinema, we're seeing holiday movies produced. It's pretty remarkable.
So it was kind of innovative in movie technology. Is that something that went on over time where holiday movies were places to, I don't know, experiment with film technology?
Absolutely. We think of holiday movies as just something silly and fun to put on in the background. But whenever we think of something very silly and fun, that's when we know we should pay more attention to what's actually going on behind the scenes. So I think about a film like White Christmas from 1954, which is directed by Michael Curtiz, a really, really well-known director. He makes one of my favorites, Mildred Pierce, the great Mildred Pierce. But many listeners might know him as the director of Casablanca. Well, he's making this film, White Christmas, in 1954, that has Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby in it, and he's working with the studio Paramount. At this moment in time, there's a really big danger to film, and that's television. And all of the studios are working really hard to develop new cinematic technologies in order to compete with television. So what do they come up with? They come up with widescreen, because television is tiny and enclosed, but the movie screen, it's enormous, it's immersive, it's celebratory. So they actually use White Christmas as the first film for VistaVision, which is Paramount's own widescreen technology. And we see this experimentation then with this particular form in a holiday movie. It's really, really incredible.
Well, let's give a listen to a little bit of White Christmas out in 1954.
I'd not be bad at that, you know, the snow-covered slopes and skiing, Christianas and the stemming and the plotzing and the shushing, hot buttered rum, light on the butter, and snow.
Snow, snow,
snow, snow,
snow. It won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
And the idea, so you can see the picture he's painting of the snow, and Hollywood took advantage of their technology to do something, it sounds like, that you couldn't replicate on the TV.
That's absolutely right. And of course, when you're shooting a film, you're not shooting this Christmas film in December. You're shooting it on set in, you know, May or June. So it's also a great opportunity to demonstrate what kinds of miraculous behind the stage illusions you can develop, such as snow falling in spring.
And probably in California, too. Southern California.
California, too. Exactly.
We are talking about the history of the holiday movie. Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillis is with us, Assistant Professor of English and Film Studies at UW-Milwaukee. You can join in if you can dial quickly at 800-642-1234. If you have a favorite holiday movie that you count on watching each and every year. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We got some comments from people on Facebook. Diane writes that Love Actually is her favorite Christmas movie. Brandy says, I like so many as long as they're not those hokey Hallmark Channel movies. And Sarah writes, when it comes to holiday classics, it's almost like when you're asked which of your kids is your favorite. And I love a lot of people, I think, have traditions, Jocelyn, of movies, old or new, coming back and watching them again and again over the years. Can you talk about how, I don't know, we've adopted them into our lives now that we can watch them at home?
Yeah, I think we think of holiday movies as particularly relevant to this moment when streaming media is the way that we consume most of our film and television, right? But there's actually a long history as well of developing a relationship with a holiday movie at home, and that's television syndication. So I think about a film like It's a Wonderful Life, which now is kind of like the ne plus ultra of holiday films. But it's really not until about the mid-80s that it becomes really known as such a celebrated holiday film. And that's because it was shown as a Christmas movie every year from that time on. It was purchased for TV syndication in the 50s, but it's really in the 80s that it begins to be shown on television over and over and over again. And that's how we begin to associate them, I think, with the holiday. In part, it's due to television scheduling. So as much as we think about this time of streaming media as the only time when we would consume film at home, there's also a longer historical legacy that occurs with television syndication and purchasing of movies from Hollywood to show on TV.
Well, speaking of It's a Wonderful Life, I think Charlotte in Evansville wants to tell us something about that. Charlotte, hi.
Hi. My mom always watched It's a Wonderful Life growing up. And as a kid, I hated it because it was black and white. And now as an adult, I appreciate it and I look forward to it every year.
Are you someone who's going to share it with the next generation, Charlotte, even though they may push
Absolutely.
Back on the black and white?
Yeah, I've got a 5 and a 2-year-old and I think I'll introduce them this year.
Fantastic, Charlotte. Thank you so much for sharing that. So yeah, with people going back and watching older movies now, Jocelyn, it isn't all the new stuff. A lot of these are classics. And our caller there, Charlotte, got over her aversion to black and white over time.
I love that. I think that's so charming. And it says something about the nostalgic aspects of cinema, right? Film isn't just something that we go see and we forget about, but it becomes a part of our holiday traditions. And it also becomes a part of our larger American culture. And it's a really, sometimes that's a troubling thing, but I think in this instance, it's a really kind of lovely and wonderful thing to think about.
Thanks for that call. We're going out to Glenn in Stoughton. Glenn, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up, Glenn?
Well, I will say, first of all, It's a Wonderful Life was the theme of my wedding.
Huh. Okay.
However, I want to talk about Arthur Christmas, an animated film that I don't think that many people are familiar with. It was really fantastic.
I don't remember that. I'm looking it up right now. Thanks for calling in. It's got some great names as the voices, Jim Broadbent, James McAvoy, and I love Bill Nighy does a voice. I have not seen this one. Jocelyn, are you familiar with this animated one, Arthur Christmas?
I am not. I have to confess I'm not. I'm familiar with, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, though.
Oh, Aardman Animations. They did the dog and the guy. I'm blanking on the names now.
Nick Park, the creator of Aardman Animation. He's so wonderful. Wallace and Gromit.
Wallace and Gromit.
So
I should have that.
I love Nick Park. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that call. Well, I want to give a listen to another clip here and talk about songs and movies. This is a little bit of the film Meet Me in St. Louis and a song with some staying power. Here's a listen to Judy Garland.
Have yourself merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next
a lot
year
of fun. A lot of the things, Jocelyn, that are standbys in our Christmas Carol repertoire now, I think came out of the older movies, didn't they?
They did. And anytime I get to hear Judy Garland's voice, I just get shivers down my spine. It's so delightful to get to listen to her. And that song has such a fascinating history behind it. Meet Me in St. Louis comes out end of 1944, beginning of 1945. And of course, it's towards the end of American involvement in World War II. Vincente Minnelli directs it. It's an MGM Technicolor spectacular musical. And it has this really fascinating aspect to it, which is that it's about, it's a nostalgia for 1904. It all takes place in St. Louis in 1904 around the World's Fair. And then there's this song that Judy Garland sings, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. When you listen to this song in the film, it is deeply, deeply sad. And that's because the song is actually about soldiers being away for the holidays and not getting to be with your family over Christmas. One of the lines was changed over time to make it a little bit less sad. But it's just got such a sad, melancholic, but I think right now, very, very timely message for all of us that next year we might get to be together again.
Another movie our listeners mentioned, well, we heard from Dee on Facebook. She shared a few favorites, The Bishop's Wife, White Christmas, Elf, and A Christmas Story. I want to take a listen to a classic scene from that last one, A Christmas Story.
Are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's because you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
like double dog dare ya.
Uh-oh, upping the ante there. And this one, I seem to dimly remember, Jocelyn, this one spread in part because it was available on VHS tape, and that's a lot of why that caught on as a holiday tradition. Am I remembering right?
Absolutely. This is one that I grew up with. I was born in 78. So I watched A Christmas Story over and over and over again every Christmas when I was a kid. So that's another example of how distribution affects how we consume media and how we associate it with different holidays. But let me tell you a really funny fact about A Christmas Story, which is that the director, Bob Clark, he made a bunch of other films. But he made one of my favorite Christmas films, which is Black Christmas from 1974, which is about, it's a slasher film about a series of murders in a sorority house over Christmas. And then he goes on to direct A Christmas Story almost a decade later. It's really, really funny.
Yeah, maybe I won't spend Christmas with you. You take it in a weird direction. No, but I want to talk about now 2020. You mentioned how the Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas has new meaning in a year where people can't spend time together. I saw a thing where one Hallmark Christmas movie this year had to make their climactic kissing scene. They figured out a way to do it with plexiglass between the actors. Can you talk about the holiday movie in this year of COVID-19?
Yeah, I think so many of us have had to learn how to find solace in things that we didn't necessarily expect to find it in. And this year, so many of us are going to be separated from our families. My family is in Baltimore, and I'm not going to get to see them, and I'm very sad about it. But we still have the opportunity to watch things together, to think about them together, and to talk about them together. And I think maybe this can be a source of comfort in a year where things are a little bit difficult. And I think we do well to listen to Judy Garland a little bit and dream that next year our troubles will be far away and we'll all get to hug our loved ones once again.
It's a great place to leave it, Jocelyn. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillies is assistant professor of English and film studies at UW-Milwaukee. She's the author of the book, The Optical Vacuum, Spectatorship, and Modernized American Theater Architecture. She joined us for a look at the history of the holiday movie genre. Keep sharing your favorites over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.